I am constantly amazed and grateful and thankful. I try to push and accomplish things in spite of problems. My wife is a good balancing to me on that. And I thank the Lord for those that have jumped in. Thankful for Seth. Thankful for Mike. Thankful for Mike Bean. Thankful for each one that has helped. At this time, something we're starting for the first time in a long time is on the first and third Sundays of the month, we are going to have junior church. And Amanda is heading that up. If you'd like to be a part of that, Amanda, what is the ages for that? 3 to 10. 3 years old, 10. It's not a necessity. It's an offer there for you. It is not a playtime. It is not a nursery time. They will be instructed in the things of Christ. And so you may be dismissed at this time if you'd like to take advantage of that. That will only be the first and third Sundays of the month. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I feel like it's been forever since I've been in the pulpit. I can tell you that I am still... if you see me hanging on to the pulpit, there's a reason. Those that are dealing with vertigo know a little bit about it, and it is not, that is probably my number one issue right now is weakness and vertigo. And so, appreciate your prayers. It makes it so that you don't want to do anything. It's just a terrible feeling, and I appreciate your prayers. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May the Lord add His blessing to His Word. The flower fades, but God's Word endures forever. Let us pray. Father, we ask you that you would bless our time here this morning, that, Father, we would be pointed to Jesus, that we would be pointed to yourself, and that, Father, we would know that thou art the answer. Thou art our God. Thou art our refuge. Thou art our helper. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. As we started this year, it seems like such a long time ago, we talked about the motivations to being transformed by the renewing of our minds, and we looked at the awesome truths of the book of Romans. Can I just encourage you? It's a wonderful book to go through. It's a challenging book to go through, but it speaks of the awesome truths of who God is, why we need Him, what He has done on our behalf. And I'm so grateful for that. And then we looked at the mercies of God, and we contemplate on the mercies of God. And you know, if we were to take time right now and just say, let's take the rest of the service, and if in the middle of the message I collapse or something, just let's share together the mercies of God, what God has done for us. And folks, we should be able to stay here all day long recounting the mercies of God. If you couldn't, that is because you have not thought concerning these things. That is because you are taking for granted the mercies of God. I see those that are here this morning that have lost loved ones. And I know of others that have lost loved ones that are not here. But can I tell you something? As we recount the mercies of God on our behalf, that is going to be that which will propel us to desire to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Yesterday we had presbytery here at the church, and Pastor Brinegar spoke, and then Dad spoke. I've got to tell you, I don't know because of sickness or what it was, but my socks were blessed off. I mean, it was just amazing to hear the Word of God expounded in all. And I want to share with you, because it fits so well, I believe, with my father took the communion service, and he had us turn to Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm going to ask that you turn to Hebrews chapter 10 with me. And we have looked at the motivations, the awesome truths of the book of Romans. He says, therefore, I beseech you. And so because of all these awesome thoughts, these profound truths that are in the Word of God, therefore do these things. Because of the mercies of God, therefore do these things. But I want to show you something else. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says in verse 4, but it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou would not, but a body hast thou prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Jesus Christ, before the foundation of the earth, was committed to doing the will of God. If you go on, verse 8, above when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither had thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then he said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Can I just tell you this morning that Jesus delighted to do the will of his Father? And we as believers, we as Christians, ought to delight to do the will of our Father. And when he tells us there, and when he beseeches us by the mercies of God to present our bodies a living sacrifice, he says, he's basically telling us, in other words, delight to do the will of God. And the way that we learn the will of God, we don't learn the will of God by impressions. We don't learn the will of God by a feeling. We don't learn the will of God by even someone else telling us what we ought to do. We learn the will of God. Now listen, hear it. We learn the will of God through God's Word, the Bible. And if you want your mind to be transformed, it has to be through the Word of God. Some of the older men that have been in my life, they say, the precious Word of God. Is the Word of God precious to you this morning? Is it that which is your delight? And you know, I must confess, there are times when I read the Word of God, and the words leap off the page, and it's such a blessing. And then other times, it's a difficult thing. I think we do our children and our people that we relate with a disservice. Then we say, oh, it's just a wonderful time every time I open the Word of God. Because that's not my experience. It may not be your experience. And it probably isn't your experience, because I have a sneaking suspicion you're a lot like me. But the purpose and the thing, as we have the Word of God, we know the value of the Word of God. And as we understand and know the value of the Word of God, even in the times when it is difficult, even in the times when we are diligent to continue on, because we know that God has promised to bless His Word. We know that God will change us by His Word. We know that God will use His Word to transform our minds. As we said the last time we were together, there are many pressures and forms. There are many attractions to us. And it's a battle for our mind. Last time we spoke, we said that the essence of the world's thinking is that we are not created in the image of God. That had to do with our catechism even today, that we were created by God in the space of 6 days, and all very good. And so as we think of the world competing and trying to shape us into its mold, that we were not created in the image of God, we have no responsibility toward God, we must understand that it is the Word of God that is going to change our thinking. Our thinking has all types of ramifications. As our culture departs more and more from the reality of the Word of God, we will be inundated by all types of thinking. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 7. I want to just show you a little bit of this battle. I don't know who you would choose if you were to choose somebody in the Scriptures who was the most godly man. You might choose Joseph. You might choose Daniel. You might choose Abraham. You might choose David. But I think in the running, at least in the running, would be the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, the Apostle Paul, who endured beatings for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, who was stoned, who was whipped, who was jailed, who ultimately had his head removed for his desire and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want us to look at Romans chapter 7, starting at verse 14. It says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal," or "I am fleshly, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." Can I say, if we're just going to summarize verse 15, Paul says, "I struggle." Is there anybody else here that will admit to struggling with sin? Anybody else? If you're not struggling to sin, you've capitulated to sin. Can I just say that? And that's not a good thing, okay? So either you're struggling with sin or you've capitulated with sin. The Apostle Paul, whom is among the greatest of all the saints in the Scripture, says, "I wrestle with sin. I do what I shouldn't do." Verse 16. "For then I do that which I would not. I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do not, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." There's a battle. And we better understand that there's a battle. And we must take and forewarn and forearm ourselves for that battle. And the Apostle Paul, as he comes towards the end of the book of Romans, here tells us to present our bodies a sacrifice, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, and not to be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. How do we renew our minds? How do we renew our minds? Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, starting at verse 2, "Set your affection," or set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify," or "put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience." Set your affection, set your mind on things above. If our mind is going to be transformed, it must be set on things above. Here, years ago, it's probably been 15 years ago, there was a big push for angels. And angels were everywhere, and everybody had angels. And they sold angels, and they were talking about angels. Folks, that's not what I'm talking about, set your mind. That's not what the Word of God is talking about when it says set your minds on things above. Set your minds on angels. Set your minds on beautiful women with wings. You know, that's nuts. That's craziness. When it says set your minds on things above, it's saying set your mind on Christ. Set your minds on God. And how do we do that? We do that as we read the Word of God. Philippians chapter 4. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Philippians. Just one book back. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. Very well-known verses to you. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good to report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. How do we know what's just, pure, good report, lovely? How do we know those things? We know them only by the description that the Word of God gives. It goes on to verse 9 and it says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. And it tells us that not only are we to think on these things, we are to do these things. We're not just to make these things ethereal, but we're to put these things into practice. And one last passage that I want to read before we get into the meat of what we want to look at this morning is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26. We read these at wedding services and the passage of husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And then verse 26 of Ephesians 5 says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. The key is the Word of God. We know the mind of God. We know the will of God. We know the person of God through His Word, not through mystical experiences. And so I've got seven things here this morning that I would like to share with you how we are to use the Word of God to transform our minds. And the first and the most simple and most basic of it is by the reading of God's Word. The reading of God's Word. Can I just take a moment here to give a plug? In our modern day society, there's not a big push on this any longer. But can I share with you the great blessing of family devotions? Family time together. Family worship. Now, can I just hasten to urge you, don't make that a laborious time. Don't make that a boring time. Don't make that a negative time. Try to make that as encouraging and as positive. You know, for a three-year-old to sit through an hour service is a difficulty. For some 30-year-olds, it's difficult. And so we need to take into account people's maturity. We need to take into account people's understanding level. And we ought to I would rather somebody take 3 minutes a day as a family, sharing God's Word, thinking on things of God, than to take 30 minutes or even an hour and nothing but negativity or a negative response come from it. And you can build it up, and you can make it, and I'm not here to put myself up as a paragon of virtue in that area. Let me tell you, it's a spiritual battle. Satan doesn't want you to do that. And Satan will put anything in your pathway to do that. That's why it's important to make it a joyous thing, a joyful thing. You might just tack it on before the meal or after a meal. You may tack it on as you put the children to bed. And that gets difficult when there's a spread of children and their ages and all. And I can't tell you that as a child growing up that I just savored our family devotion time, our family worship time. But I can tell you this, I look back at it now and I say, praise God for it. Did you know that not everything that is good for a child will they enjoy doing? That's probably not a revelation to you. They probably don't like brushing their teeth. They probably don't like sitting down. My wife has a strict rule in her house. If you're going to eat, you're going to eat at the table. You're not going to walk around with something in your hand. And that's a strict rule in her house. She has carried it on, not only her children, but her grandchildren. And their grandchildren sometimes will be up and around, and where are you supposed to be? That may not be something that they rejoice and enjoy doing, but can I tell you, it will reap benefits in the future. And so the Word of God, you know, I'm talking about family devotions, but can I just mention your own personal devotions? You know, we have encouraged throughout the years to use different methodologies of reading through the Bible in a year. Can I tell you, there's nothing sacred about reading the Bible through in a year. I would rather you read 5 minutes a day and get something out of it and rejoice in it than read 20 minutes a day and just say, oh, I finished my duty today. The reading of God's Word is what will transform your mind. Even if you don't know that it's transforming your mind, it is transforming your mind because the Bible is powerful. The Bible is that which has an effect even when you don't know that it's having an effect. You can read it and then, just like what I read from you, from Isaiah this morning, it's amazing how the events of our lives will be impacted by the Word of God. And I read that and I said, God, that's what I need. That's what I need for this day, for this hour, for this season that of difficulty and problems. And so our minds will be transformed as we read the Word of God. Secondly, as we listen to the preaching of God's Word. And I'm not going to take the time to read the different passages, but can I just tell you that God is pleased by the preaching of His Word, by what He has called the foolishness of preaching, to work in men and women's lives. Folks, the preaching of the Word of God is that which God has ordained to use in the hearts and lives of His people. And that's why He calls us to attend to the preaching of the Word of God, to listen to the preaching of the Word of God. Thirdly, the meditation of His Word. The meditation of His Word will change us, will transform our lives. Folks, you know, if we can take one thing, and I've tried to do it, and I always forget to do it, at the end of the message, if you could sit and think for just a moment, what's one takeaway? What's one verse? What's one thought? What's one? And then take and meditate upon that. And you know what the best way I've found to meditate on it is to share it with somebody. You know what I'm thinking about? And tell the person. You know what I learned in church this morning? And you know, I can remember as our kids grew up, we'd go around the table at lunchtime, and we'd ask them, well, what was the service about? And we get the rote answers, Jesus, God, Bible, Holy Spirit. You know, they were all very attentive. But I can tell you this, they knew more by my asking the question than if I hadn't asked the question. Because if they could only come up with the rote answers, they were at least having to move those gears of the mind. And folks, let me tell you something. I think one of the greatest issues of our day is that parents do not talk with their children. Parents do not know their children. And what best to talk to them about than spiritual things, godly things. And I don't mean sitting down and saying, now I'm going to instruct you, and that's proper and right and good. But as Deuteronomy chapter 6, as you're walking along the way, as you rise up, as you sit down, as you eat, as you do these things, this ought to be a part of our breath. This is the renewing of our minds. This is the transforming of our lives as we meditate upon God's Word. Some of you may have recognized here in the last several weeks, we have included us a couple more songs in our morning worship service. And I purposely have done that. Because I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 5. The last place we were was in Ephesians 5. But if you look at Ephesians 5 verse 19, it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You might notice that We are singing the same song for a month, both at the beginning and the close of our service. There's a reason we do that. The reason is that so that it will be in your heart. It will be in your mind. Hopefully the tune you won't be able to get out of your mind. And as you're going through the week, you'll think of the truths of God's Word. Folks, we don't sing little ditties here. We sing words that are full of truth, full of Scripture, full of pointing us to the Lord. And He tells us to sing and make melody in our hearts. And our minds are transformed by the Word of God. Somebody gave me a CD, lovely CD of a man singing. And I am somewhat technologically challenged. And I put it in my CD player. And after a while, I got to think, you know, this is wonderful. But the guy's singing the same song every time. I had it on repeat or something, and I thought, you know, this is wonderful, but, you know. But I tell you, I got it. I got the point. I couldn't get that song out of my head. All right, I know what you're all thinking. You're thinking, well, he's just thick-headed and he needs that. And you would be right. I'll own it. But you know what? You're not too much different than me. And so the singing of God's Word, and not just these, what they call 7-11 songs where they have seven words and you sing it 11 times, but words that are impactful, that are meaningful. I had asked my daughter-in-law to sing for us this morning, and she did, and I think God in His providence, our names are written on it. He ever lives to intercede for us. But I'd given her three, and I said, pick one of those three. And one of them was unfamiliar, and she said that we were just not familiar enough with it. But she said this. She said, I know why you picked it. I know why you picked it. Can I tell you this morning that we picked the music for a purpose? That it would make an impact and it would change lives. And folks, let me tell you something. God has given us music that He might take and drive His Word deep into our hearts. And so I would pray and I would ask that our minds would be renewed by the Word of God. And then we do it, number five, by the sharing of God's Word. And we've touched on this, by the sharing of the Word of God. I go back, first of all, to the singing of God's Word. Did you know that the largest book of the Bible is the songbook? I believe there's a reason for that. The book of Psalms, and we've in our generation have gotten away from singing the Psalms, but can I tell you that many of the songs that we sing are based upon the Psalms and the concepts that are based upon the Psalms. The sharing of God's Word, again, as we learn God's Word, as we share it with others, how God has impacted us through His Word, I believe that causes our minds to be transformed. And then sixthly, the application of the Word of God. What does the Bible say? I remember, and I hope they don't mind, they might be mad at me afterwards, and I apologize in advance, but for years, we have shared the catechism, and I can remember that the Lanes came in years and years ago, and we were reading the catechism and say, what is that? And I may be wrong, but I think now they love the catechism. You know why? The catechism takes the Word of God, and it distills it. I mean, the work of creation is God's making all things of nothing by the word of His power in the space of 6 days, and all very good. I mean, that's powerful. And if we can get that into our children's thoughts, we can go to the children's catechism. Who made you? God. What else did God make? All things. Why did God make you in all things? For His own glory. They may not know all the ins and outs, but they'll know the basics, and they'll know that. And so I believe that the study of God's Word through the catechism and through commentaries and through Bible studies is a very good thing. Yesterday, Pastor Steve Brinegar told us how that this year it's his goal to read through Robert Raymond's Theology. Well, it's a book about this big, thick, and this big. And I mean, it's a significant, very tiny writing. Why does he do that? Why does he do that? He wants the Word of God to transform his mind. And pastors need that. Seventhly, seeing Jesus in the Word. As we read the Word, as we preach the Word, as we meditate upon the Word, as we sing the Word, as we share the Word, as we apply the Word, we see Jesus in the Word. To be like Jesus. The main message of the Word of God, I believe, can be summed up in one verse. I mean, it's pretty significant, all that's written here. So profound that the scholars and the theologians have plumbed its depth and have not yet reached the depth of it. And yet a child can know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, there's an everlasting life to shun, to flee. There's an everlasting life to embrace. And that's through Jesus Christ. The reality of hell will be all too real to those that have scoffed, mocked, have rejected the Word of God. But for those that have put their faith in Jesus Christ, we know that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we spend our lives that our minds might be renewed. And it's a marathon. I mean, I hope everybody goes out there, I'm going to read the Word of God. Let's spend all day long reading. And that'd be a wonderful thing. But it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. You know, I carry a few extra pounds. They didn't get there all at one time. Sometimes I think they did. But they didn't get there all at one time. It was one bite at a time. And they will be removed probably by one bite at a time. Or the lack of a bite at a time. And the renewing of our minds is not by taking the shower of the Word of God, but merely the gentle word upon word, line upon line, precept upon precept. Folks, I want you, I want me to be like Jesus. Jesus delighted in God's Word. Let us delight in God's Word. And let us delight to do His will. Let us pray. Father, I pray today that you would take and bless your Word to our hearts. I pray, Lord, that our minds, that we would endeavor to have our minds renewed as we think upon these things. We ask you, Father, that those who are in trial and trouble and difficulty at this time would seek your Word. Father, seek to apply your Word in every aspect of their trial and difficulty. For it's in Christ's name we pray.